Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back to the new and improved Millennial Dentist Podcast.
Have you even had an episode yet?
Yes. This is not the comeback episode. Okay. We have been recording. We have some queued up. It's going to be a good year. 2023 is a new chapter.
That's what I say for me too.
A new chapter. I'm excited. It's just a lot of changes.
Why don't we tell people what they're listening to today? What are we going to talk about?
Today we're going to talk about some new tech that we have. As you like to say, life beyond CEREC.
That's not a knock.
That's not a knock. Yeah, CEREC still is super critical in our practice. Super important. I've got, 4 MCXLs downstairs in a prime mill. I think the challenges we ran into and are continuing to run into is one, the quality of a two-axis mill.
Four-axis.
Or four-axis.
With two motors.
With two motors and the speed at which they do it. You know, there's the hope that we could get something that would do more contouring, higher quality out of the mill. So maybe if it cuts down on the finishing time that we would have to do, that would be one.
Here's what I would like to say.
Yeah.
We're not looking for a CEREC replacement.
No, gosh, no.
We're looking for an alternative to CEREC for very specific uses. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, no, I think so.
Because I don't want people to think that we're against CEREC, because I'm not. I think it's one of the best cameras. The Prime Scan is
One
of the best cameras out there. I think for a single visit, single crown, maybe even two crown dentistry, there's nothing that compares to it yet. We hope to have something that does compare to it at some point in time. But I think there is a limitation to CEREC in terms of the restoration process. It is very specifically and purposefully designed to be a single visit, single onesie, twosie restoration machine. And then if your practice grows beyond doing onesie, twosie dentistry, then the milling unit, not the camera, and the software in the milling unit become a limiting factor in what's possible.
Yeah.
So, Sully, from your perspective, what things has the CEREC software and the milling unit been a limiting factor for you?
Obviously larger restorations. So larger bridges, which still you have to do sometimes. There are certain implant restorations that I can't necessarily mill. I mean, the tie-based workflow works really good for 80% of the units that we do. And that workflow with CEREC is really good, but there's still some custom abutments, angled screw channels.
And I think the custom abutment feature in CEREC is...
Yeah, it's mediocre. Yeah. The screw retained crown part is amazing, but I'm not a huge fan of the split restorations. And then large cases. I mean, we're at a luxury, right? Because we're a large enough practice that we've got multiple MCXLs. But for a lot of people, that doesn't make a ton of sense.
And when you say larger restorations, do you mean like literally figuratively larger restorations?
No, I mean when you've got... I mean, because... Like, let's think about the path that a CEREC doctor takes, right? Like, they're going to start with single posterior restorations. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to move to multiple posterior restorations. And for most people, that's where they stop, right? Which is not necessarily a bad thing, but that's kind of the limit that we get. Then you're going to have a group of people that's going to want to get into anteriors and then get into implant restorations. And to me, the implant restoration's a no-brainer because the design's relatively easy for a screw-retained crown. When you follow a good kind of step-by-step workflow. Personally, I think that a lot of people get caught up in the anterior world and stop doing it because they try to rely on themselves to do the design.
Right.
And so for us, what's
And worked, the software is not great.
And the software is not, chair side software is not great.
One unit's no problem. One or two units, it's not that bad.
Eight units, ten units,
it really becomes problematic.
And so for us, we started saying, we get the post-processing. We understand the manufacturing process, so we should just farm out the design. So we've done a lot of great work with Weston, and he's been a great designer for us.
And he'll continue to be,
for sure. So that was a part where, okay, well, for us then, we've got the designs back. We've eliminated that barrier. We're getting good quality designs. Now it's just, it's annoying to have to load 8 blocks, someone to have to sit at a mill and change the water, change the blocks. Wait, you know, that's a time consuming process, even if you're doing it day in and day out throughout the day.
And the truth is what's the likelihood of doing an 8 or 10 unit case in a single visit?
It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've all done it.
It's not that it's not possible.
No, it's very possible. Now it's less possible if you have one mill.
Oh yeah. Because even at the best, let's call it 8 unit case, 20 minutes a mill, you're looking at 160 minutes is 3 hours of milling time, not including a little bit of change time and stuff like that.
It's just not super realistic there. And then you get multiple mills, you can cut down on that. But even then it's just a hectic process. Mm-hmm. So we operate much more on like I like a week turnaround. Okay. That's how I like to do my bigger cases. But it's not uncommon for us to do a 48-hour or 72-hour turnaround. Yeah. Then it requires, again, our assistants a lot more time. So to me, we just loaded.
And one limitation of the CEREC milling unit in this situation is the restorations come out semi-finished.
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing that as you explore, if you explore down this process, you'll notice that lab milling units will have more burrs. They will take longer to mill, but the trade-off or the trade-up for that multiple burrs and longer to mill is a much more finished restoration, especially when it comes to occlusal anatomy, anterior anatomy, tertiary anatomy. What we were seeing from others and what we're experiencing ourselves now is that the restorations really require minimal finishing.
Right.
And line angles and contours. It's almost to a point of what you see in the design software is pretty close to what you get out of the milling unit. And for those of us that have a lot of experience with CEREC, that isn't necessarily the truth.
No, even if you use, I never could get extra fine. You know, extra fine mode's kind of a challenge. Well,
then you start getting into 20-minute, 25-minute mills.
Yeah, so I never really was able. Yeah, so those are the things that I'm excited about. I mean, and then like we just loaded a case.
Yeah.
For 8 units, and we press go, and in 2 hours and 22 minutes, we'll have 8 units done, you know? So to me, that's like and we're not having to watch it or do anything really, keep an eye on it to make sure it doesn't have an error or something. But for the most part, that's a pretty streamlined process. So to me, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, me too. And then
and that's not even getting into the full arch part, obviously, where we can get into. I just think it's our day in and day out use of it will just be doing more of what we did downstairs, just a little more efficiently, I think.
Yeah, the other thing I'm excited about is that it opens up different softwares to me.
Right.
So now we can start designing in ExoCAD our screw retained restorations. And look, I'm not a big believer in the decimal versus the comma mentality, but sure. I also don't like to waste money.
No.
And so when we have to, in the CEREC workflow, we have to use an abutment block,
right,
which I think are $50 to $60, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, I want to say they're almost double the cost of a normal
double
block.
Or more, okay? And so when you get to a 5-axis milling unit, now suddenly you can use a regular block and it will mill the notch and the chimney part and it'll mill the hole for you. And so suddenly now we can start getting into $20. And so for a practice, you know, $20 blocks in that situation. So for a practice like mine, that's doing, let's say 250 implants a year, single unit, you know, restorations, that's 250 times $20 to $30. That starts adding up.
Yeah.
And the other nice thing is,
one in inventory keeping.
And then just it starts giving me different options for tie bases and stock abutments.
Right.
I can use different ones, not just ones that are limited to the CEREC workflow, which are many very good, but some of them don't have multiple gingival heights and some of them don't have angulated screw channels. So now I start getting into the ability to do angulated screw channels. I really start getting a lot of options opened up to me. And that's why I call it life beyond CEREC. It's not a knock on CEREC. It's just my practice to a certain degree didn't have a need for anything more, but I also, my mind wasn't open to what more was out there. To me, all of this is about driving revenue, not saving revenue. So now what I'm hoping for is that we can start marketing 1 or 2 day smile makeovers. We can start marketing, as we already have been doing with printing, less expensive full arch implant restorations. So this will be the, you know, ongoing step to that. Like, we milled a hybrid zirconia puck overnight.
Yep.
And now we can see what that looks like. And, you know, again, rough, you know, not including material, not including equipment and time costs, but the puck's a couple hundred bucks. So now, in theory, if I can start getting my zirconia cost down to $1,000, $1,500 versus $4,000 or $5,000 through a lab, that starts giving me more profitability and a unique selling proposition to the patients.
Right.
So to me, those are the reasons that I wanted to look at making an update or a more forward movement with a milling unit.
Well, and, you know, obviously we've talked about Exocad and how that's played into this, mm-hmm. and it's really been the design parts pushed a lot of our changes. And to me, where this workflow is going to be really sweet, just dialing it in, is you would do all this effort in Exocad to have a nice wax up, you yeah. know, to have a nice mock-up or something, a trial smile that you close them on. And then within the CEREC workflow, that basically becomes kind of, that data's gone on some yeah. level. I mean, you prep the teeth.
Well, I would argue that doing a digital smile design with CEREC is impossible.
Yeah, but, well, because you're relying on, and what we mean by that is because you're reliant on a biocopy to then biocopy temps
yeah.
in the mouth, which translating temps from a printed model to the temps yeah. and then them finishing them to look good and be right is not the same as importing a pre-done file.
Again, not that it can't be done.
Yeah, right.
They're very smart people doing it, but we look at predictability and repeatability for the quote unquote average or slightly above average dentist.
Your ability not to be able to mesh a wax up file into an existing case.
Yeah.
Is a hurdle. And so then once I've designed this wax up, the patient loves it, they're like, yes, this is great. Well, now I have no real way to translate that even into the final design. Yeah. So I'm on some level starting from scratch, or at least giving them this and saying, hey, or biocopying it, giving them a starting spot. But there's no way to like then just drop the preps underneath that.
Yeah.
Those that mock up or design that we've done to then get us to a final much quicker. And then again being able to get in to a mill.
And I don't quicker. Think InLab is an equivalent solution as Exocad.
No.
Not from my experience. I mean, I have InLab. It hasn't been an equivalent solution. At least in my hands, it has not been.
Yeah, it definitely has nice features and some ability to export STLs and stuff like that is cool.
So let's kind of recap the why. The yeah. why was, let's go to the what. What did we do? So we've talked, hopefully you've talked, this is your podcast.
Yep.
At least on my podcast, Dentistry Made Simple, which is more regular and frequent
for now
than yours. I've talked a lot about our switch to Exocad at 3D Dentists because it opens up a wider range of indications for us. So we've been using Exocad and then we've had some limitations in terms of being able to mill 8 or 10 units quickly and, you know, somewhat conveniently. We've had some limitations in our desire to do long span bridges or full arch bridges.
Yep.
Or implant hybrid restorations. And there's some limitations to printing in terms of true final materials. So we went and acquired a 5-axis milling unit. Now, the real why behind all of this is our ability to deliver care that drives down patient costs, but yet increases profitability to the practice. I want to be uniquely positioned that I can be less expensive than anybody, but yet more profitable than anybody because of our workflows and use of technology in the practice. Okay. So, Sully, let's talk through.
And I think on the cosmetic side, we're doing that, right? And to me, yeah. like there's kind of obviously different. You can talk about the full arch side, but to me, the more common one that everybody can use that's less flashy is doing those 8 or 10 unit cases, right? There's such a demand for people that want that type of dentistry out there. And to be competitive in those markets brings a lot of value.
But to me, the important part, the competitiveness isn't just on the fabrication side. The unique competitiveness for us is that we can do a mock-up and do an emotional mock-up in the
Correct.
Patient's mouth
yeah. no.
to sell the case.
Right.
You know, without having to send this out for a wax-up, without having to wait weeks and weeks. I can literally tell a patient if you...
Our buying process...
is way better.
Way better than most people's. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So like, what wakes... like, I come in for a consult and I want to get... I just want pretty white teeth, right? I mean, that's like basically what people want. I mean, what is the buying process for you look like?
Yeah, so the first step is we're going to have you in for a consultation, find out what you're looking for, take some photographs, take a digital impression before I ever walk in the room. All of those things are done. Megan will give the patient some rough idea of what kind of cases we've done that look like theirs. She'll show them in a book, some of that stuff.
Yep.
And then she'll say something like this could be in the whatever dollar amount that is, probably typically in the $15,000, $16,000 ballpark.
So basically we're getting records. Mm-hmm. We're showing proof of concept, you as the expert in this area. Yeah. And we're also screening them, again, I'm sure a second time, or qualifying them is maybe a better word, financially.
To give an idea of kind of where we're at with that, right? So I'm trying to pull up a case that we did this week. Here's one. So they can't see it. But so basically we have this young lady come in on this week, and she wanted to do crown lengthening.
Yep.
And I said, sure, we can certainly do that. But I told her I thought we didn't need to do that to get the result. And she says, well, I don't know about that. I said, you know what? If you don't mind coming back tomorrow morning, I said, let's do a trial smile for you. I'll do a mock-up in your mouth so you can see what this will look like. And after that, if you say, hey, I really want to do gingival crown lengthening, then we'll be happy to get that taken care of. But I think from my experience, I can get you a result. And that's her emotional smile in her mouth. And I personally don't see anything wrong with that.
No.
Once she saw that in her mouth, she's like, wow, you can get that result. I said, absolutely. This is what we did in your mouth just now.
Do you have before?
Let me see if I can find the before for you. but the answer is, yeah, of course we have a before.
No, yeah. So 24-hour turnaround to do that is pretty impressive. And most people, they're either going to have I think the challenge there is most people don't want to offer it, or people aren't willing to pay for it because of the wax up fee. Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, that's the before. You know, theirs with the mock-up on.
Yep.
And I even did this one where we did the mock-up on one side versus the other side.
That's nice.
So you can see that, you know, I didn't lengthen the teeth too much because her bite didn't support that. But, you know, and so that's our selling process there. So, you know, when a person doesn't balk at the $15,000, $16,000 ballpark, where they say, well, it's a little more expensive, you know, and then we can kind of go through the financing options.
But typically we're closing on, you're closing on like ease of, like speed.
Yeah.
Speed is one. People want it done fast.
Yep.
You could deliver that. Technology. I mean, people want to know they're doing it in the most modern way. The most modern way, which you're delivering.
And proof.
Yeah.
It's not this, yeah, we can do this for you, and it's total like belief, or even looking at other work of ours. You know, to be able to say to somebody, look, I'll just put it in your mouth. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, no problem.
Yeah. It's amazing, you know, too, how important it is. Like just the patient's perception that you do this a lot.
Right.
And when you make it look.
And I don't do it a lot.
Right. But when you have a process that's so dialed, it just kind of compounds on itself.
Yeah. I say I don't do it a lot. I do it once a month. Right.
I do it a lot.
I know. Right.
I used to.
Right. You know, but I don't want to do it much. I don't want to do it at all.
That's what I'm trying to do.
But. You know, for the average dentist, once a month is a lot.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but that's where ExoCAD has been important in the buying process. That's where printing has been important in the buying process. And then, you know, now we want to take those same technologies and we want to get it to the final process. And that's where, and the other thing that comes in is flexibility starts coming in now. You know, so let's say that this is going to be a 10 unit case in my office. That's $18,000. Okay. So let's say the patient says, well, that's a lot of money. You know, if that's the answer, we say, certainly it is a lot of money. You know, when somebody has prices of ejection, we have an FPD response. First option is financing. Second option is phasing. Third option is discounting. So we go to financing. If financing is an option, you know, she said, well, my husband doesn't want to, me and my husband don't want to take on any more payments. You know, phasing really isn't an option here. You know, she needs 10 teeth done.
Or it's inconvenient. Yeah.
Or we said we can do 8 and then add 2 down the road. My experience has been people don't come back and do that. And then we went to discounting and, you know, and at that point, you know, we're like, you know, what were you thinking? She's like, well, I had budgeted $15,000 for this. We went for another consult. That's the number that we were hoping to be at. And then we can make a decision. Can we do it for 15 grand? And for yes. us, the answer is yes, because we know our process is going to get the results we want and be very profitable at that dollar amount.
Yes. Yeah. Because for me, I mean, even at $100 design fee yeah. and a $30, even at basically $100, let's just call it $150 a unit cost. Yeah. I mean, I can be like, yeah. ultra profitable. I mean, $150.
Because that's 4 hours of chair time.
If we do 10 units, that's $1,500.
That's 4 hours of chair time.
And material costs and 4 hours of chair time. I would block 4 hours of chair time and then I'll have an hour seat.
Yeah.
So that's.
Well, I would do 2.5 hours for the prep.
Yeah,
and
but I'm lazy. I want to be done
yeah.
after that. So, but yeah, just call it up. I mean, shoot. And this is where I hope people truly understand like their numbers and their profitability and stuff like that. Because like, if you think about it, like, I mean, if you told me, hey, I can make like
$3,000 an hour, $5,000 a day, yeah,
like
net
$5,000 a day, I'd be like, that's awesome. I'll sign up for that. And then you look at what our normal schedules produce, and then when we get something like this, we're like, oh, I can't do it for, even though it's double.
Yeah, what are crazy, right?
Typical.
Because people get stuck in that I don't discount, right?
Yeah.
And so discount, but I want to be clear, discount is our third option.
Yeah, I think first that was important that you said that, yeah.
Second option is, can we phase the treatment without discounting? And the third option is, then we look at discount.
Because then for a lot of these larger cases, when you get above 10 grand, I think is really where it happens.
I think when you get above 5 or 6, yeah.
And so then you're usually going to financing mm-hmm. pretty quickly anyways. And then if they don't get approved for a higher dollar amount or that's just out of their budget, then that ultimately really becomes down to what your options
yeah.
are.
All right. So we've talked about what we've done, the ultimate overall reason of why we're doing it.
Yep.
Now let's walk through the decision-making process on why we chose the VHF R5 milling unit. So walk me through that from your perspective.
Well, outside of the fact that it's the sexiest mill on the market by far, it is beautiful.
It's of the lab mills.
Sorry. Yeah, of the lab mills. I mean, I think it was kind of a couple indications. I mean, one was you and I both are both such lithium disilicate, you know, cult followers that we wanted something that could wet mill, but then we want to be able to mill our full arch zirconia. A mill that could do both
wet and dry
yeah. was a really big like sticking point, I think,
so
for us.
So I can tell you the MCXL does wet and dry.
Well, yeah, but not to the size of the okay. stuff and the quantity
that I
want.
So then the second thing is that we also needed...
So we wanted wet dry. Yeah. That was important.
We needed a puck.
Puck mill.
Because we needed large restorations.
Yep.
So that's where the hybrids come in. And the pucks work to be able to put 6 Emax blocks in at one time.
Correct.
Or 6 any blocks, whatever blocks are. Yep. 6 zirconia blocks even, actually. Well, I don't think the zirconia blocks will fit in there.
They do.
6
the one yesterday.
Okay. No, I know the one does, but I don't know if 6 would, because the zirconia blocks are bigger than the Emax. But that's something we'll figure out. The other thing that I looked at is I wanted one unit. I didn't want to get a separate wet milling unit, dry milling unit. And then I also wanted one that was relatively maintenance-free. That didn't require, like I didn't need to be scrubbing it between wet and dry and doing that. I wanted to have some automation in it. So, you know, for us, the VHF, it's beautiful looking.
Well, and titanium abutments.
Yeah.
And that was the other one, is we want to be able to mill.
Although our prime mill is supposed to mill titanium abutments.
We'll see. We're 3 years in.
I don't mean to. That's probably a sore subject for me.
That's all right. But yeah, I mean, to be able to eventually do that.
I love how we bought milling units that we were told would do titanium abutments, and literally 3 years later, it's coming soon, and it's not there.
Yeah, that's disappointing. But this one, I've actually seen it mill a titanium abutment, exactly. So yeah. It can happen.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, so that'll be good. But I think those are the big reasons. And then you start to just look around, right? And Look at, okay, what are other people using? What's the quality of the mills? How long has the company been around?
Right.
Where does the engineering come from? Do they I thought it was really cool that VHF manufactures the majority of the
components,
the components in it, right? You know, even down to the burrs. So you know that there's some level of like, you know, we loved that with Sarek, right? I mean, I still do. Like, you know, as much as people harp on the closed system, I think that the a lot of the ability of having like control there is advantageous for the unit. And so I think there's some aspects of that I like, with this mill.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then we met the people. We looked
at automatic burr changer.
Yeah. Well, I think most 5-axis mills do that. Yeah. That's nothing unique at this point in time. And look, there may be other milling units that do all the same things for a lesser price point.
Sure.
You know, maybe we could have saved 5-10 grand. But, you know, I really wanted something that had good service and support, that had a good reputation in the industry, that we've seen being worked in labs in a higher production. And then also in what we're calling practice labs, you know, in dentist office as well. You know, I'm not looking to bring a true lab in and have all the lab workflows in my practice. I'm looking to have a practice lab, right, which is somewhat limited workflows. I think the other thing that also kind of did appeal to me with the VHF is that they're iVotion certified, meaning that you can mill the iVotion, I hate this word, denture pucks, from Ivoclar, but you know, I'm not going to use them for dentures. You may. I'm not going to use them for dentures. I'm going to use them more to mill PMMA hybrids, so that way we can have pink and white come out of a single puck. I'm excited to do that as well, and to be able to do long-term temps, which is something that we've been doing more and more of our practice to, you know, to make full arch implant care more accessible.
Well, and this is where like you get into this conversation of like, okay, what can printing handle versus what can milling handle? And, you know, and I think it's one of those things where it's up to this point, we've printed a lot of this stuff. We've been proponents of it. Now that we have the mill, there's going to be a little more comparing.
Yeah.
And we may find that like, okay, I actually like milling.
Well, printing is faster.
This versus this. Yes.
So if we're trying to do a hybrid and immediate provisional.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely.
It's a 45 minute print. Printing is going to be faster. Whereas my guess is a 3-4 hour mill. 3-hour mill, so certainly that, you know, but then when we start getting into next day turnaround, then a 45-minute print versus a 3-hour mill, you know, doesn't matter. And
Right. Here's
what we do know currently is machined materials are stronger than printed materials, because printed materials are layered. There's certain, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And then, you know, when you cure it, there's different things there. So what we know is that these machine materials are stronger currently than printed materials.
Yeah, it'll be like even shell, you know, shell temps, or be able to print out like long span bridges, like for temporary, yeah, stuff like that. Like I found in the printed materials, I've had trouble with that stuff.
Breaking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think those would be areas where it's kind of those things like you don't have it, you don't need it or use it. But then once you have it, you're like, whoa. There's a better way to do it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I think we're going to find that.
But look, printing is going to be less expensive.
Yeah.
It's going to be faster. And truthfully, it's going to be more attainable for more practices.
At what point do you feel like that becomes a reality? Like what, like if you're listening and you're like, when do you take the jump, or how do you even order this technology? Like I have kind of my thoughts on it, but what are your, like the scale of when do you jump into like a 5-axis mill?
Well, look, I think Sarek has its place. It's about quadrant dentistry, getting practices started.
And some sort of like, same day dentistry, consumer driven dentistry is same day
for
that stuff.
And then I think a printer is important because a printer has a super low cost of entry. It's like 10 grand.
And lots of uses.
And night guards, models, surgical guides, you know, provisionals, hybrid temps, lots of different things. And then I think once you reach a volume, then a puck 5-axis milling unit becomes very viable for a practice.
Especially if you love zirconia.
Yeah.
Restorations.
Yeah, because now, you know, you can take those pucks and, you know, we were nesting around yesterday. I think we could get like 20 units into a puck.
Yeah.
You know, and suddenly we're still looking at like $10
a $10 restoration.
And, you know, it suddenly becomes, you know, cost effective, like stupid cost effective.
Yeah. Yeah, the puck change is a game changer.
I find with zirconia, there's just so much post-processing that I don't like. Staining and infiltrating and all of that stuff.
We're going to get into it, though. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see. I mean, yeah, the full arch zirconia we worked it out definitely needs a little bit of post-processing.
Yeah, it does.
So that'll be interesting to see how we do that.
So we chose the VHF R5 milling unit.
Yep.
Because it's a wet-dry milling unit. The other nice thing about this is because we looked at single puck machines, you know, for 10, 15 grand more, we're able to get a 10-puck machine. So that means that, in theory, if we wanted to mill multiple things overnight, like the other night we put a jacket of Emax restorations in there, a jacket of zirconia restorations in, and the machine, you know, overnight, you know, it automatically switched from Emax to zirconia and, you know, switched the burrs and cleaned it out and did all of that. We came back in the morning and the discs are sitting in the carousel at the bottom, all done.
Yeah. So I'm excited. It's very cool.
Yeah. And so we're super excited for it. Anything else?
No, I think that's good. I mean, I think people need to, check it out. And I mean, message us, DM us with your thoughts, you know, questions you have. I mean, I definitely think this is something we're going to be seeing more and more mainstream in labs, in offices.
I want to see it more mainstream because, again, it is going to force me to do more smiles. It's going to force me to do more full arch implant cases. It's going to allow me to be more than competitive in my market. It's going to allow me to be uniquely competitive in my market. And on top of that, but part of that is also, I think the listeners do need to understand that to a certain degree, you got to put the money into the marketing to drive these patients to your practice. Yeah. Because most of us aren't sitting in practices where, you know, a smile case comes in every week or a full arch implant case comes in every week. You got
to, they don't double down.
Yeah.
And like we could record another episode on that because it's a good discussion. But I think generally speaking, what happens is we catch these big cases.
Yeah. Low hanging fruit.
Meaning low. Yeah. That we wait till someone comes in and asks us, they want, like our existing patient says, hey, I'd like to get veneers.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to get them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get them. I'm bringing them in and then I'm being very direct.
But also on that side of things is, how many people can market that do smile makeovers? Every dentist can, right?
Yeah.
But how many dentists can market, we have our own lab, we can be done in 24 hours,
yeah,
right? And we can be more affordable.
Yep.
I mean, so now if you take two practices side by side,
it's how we're doing what we're doing. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You know, it's not a magic bullet to it.
I would just assume prep 8 teeth every day, mm-hmm, and charge 12 grand, 10 grand.
10 grand and call it a day.
10 grand. And then now I'm way more competitive.
I'll do 8 grand.
I'm way more competitive.
If you give me a case every day, I'll do 8
and
grand.
And literally that's all I do is I prep 8 teeth every day.
And deliver in the afternoon.
And then my team gets the designs back. They put them in the mill. They post-process them. I mean, literally every day. Like, it's not rocket science. It's crazy.
Yeah, because you can prep a case, deliver a case, prep a case, deliver a case, prep a case, deliver a case.
And those people out there that say there's not enough volume, oh my gosh, there's enough volume.
Yeah. Ask our friend Tejas Patel in Austin.
Yeah.
You know, ask Grant Olson in Springfield, Missouri. You know, ask these guys and gals that are doing it, you know. The business exists. You gotta reach the market, you gotta let them know what you're doing, you gotta double down on what it takes to be able to deliver them in the most efficient way possible.
I love it.
All right, Sully, you got to sign off. This is your podcast.
Oh my goodness. Well, I hope you're ready for a big 2023. It's good to be recording again, I will say.
I had to force you today.
Well, I'm a little under the weather, if y'all can't tell. But no, it's good. And I'm excited for 2023. So y'all keep working smart and harder. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.